I love preaching here because I can be as sarcastic as I want to be, and you all just, it's just like hearing your mama's lullaby. You're just like, that's where I live right there. Amen. Some places I got to behave, and it's a miserable week. So I love coming here, just letting we sure love you, Pastor. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let's go there tonight. Appreciate all the work. I know there's been a lot of things done, and we just kind of roll in here and enjoy all the fruits of your labor, and great meal, and just all that's been done, and just thankful for that. I'm going to ask you to pray for my voice. Had a very, speaking of organic, I was setting up my trailer last night, and I swallowed a bug. You know, talking about an open mouth, Lord will fill it. I don't know if that's what it had in mind or not, but I didn't even check the label to see if it's sugar-free. It probably run my sugar up. But so I coughed myself hoarse, trying to give back what the devil gave. And so we'll press on through it. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to read several verses here, and be patient with me. Let's see what the Lord will have for us. I want to preach tonight about the power of a choice. We have a lot of conversation about pro-choice. That's really not a choice. You say that's not fair. Well, if they were to choose to not commit murder, their peers would just come down on them, so they don't have a choice. They're bound by their principles just as much as we are by ours. There's no choice. Amen. But I want to talk about a choice tonight. Try to talk to somebody. Verse 11, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. We heard this quoted just this morning. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it or do it? Neither is beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. You can't get more supplied than that. It's in your mouth, in your heart, and it's very close. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land that thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Amen. Let's ask for the Lord's help this evening. Father, thank you for what we felt, the choir singing, congregational, all that's been done. And I'm asking you, Lord, it seems it was in your plan and the destiny for this service to be at this part of the service. And I'm asking you, Lord, give us liberty. Help us, Lord, to understand that there is something so powerful and profound in the opportunity that every man has to choose. Give us that liberty that we might decide wisely, that we may not have eternal regrets, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you say amen? Amen. You know, we think about choice, and the definition is the act of choosing, the voluntary act of selecting or separating from two or more things that which is preferred, or the determination of the mind in preferring one thing over another. Amen. And you know, there's, life is full of choices. Some, they're not consequential, and some, they have great consequences. There are times when the biggest decision that you've got and I have is to choose between strawberry and chocolate. Now, that's profound, but it's probably not eternal. As a matter of fact, if you're making too many of those, you'll probably get to heaven really quick. Do you realize that mankind is the only of God's created being that have the ability to choose? And it is because we have an ability, they call it self-awareness. It is the understanding that you and I exist, that you and I have the concept that we are, as individuals, separate from other people with private thoughts. And also it includes the fact that other people, we understand that other people, they are individuals with their own thoughts, and they have awareness of this as well. You see, in all of creation, only we possess that power. Deer and bear and fish and antelope, they don't understand the concept that they could step outside of their own existence. We can and do that, and we have the ability to perform diagnosis and understand our situation, removing ourselves from it, looking at it objectively, and realizing that there is a method or a preference in multiple choices. We have the ability to look at twists of trees and tangles of branches and find a conclusion that we are lost. Animals cannot do that. They do not understand that there is something that they can process outside of themselves. Humans have the ability to look at facts remotely and detach themselves and make independent decisions based upon information. You see, the greatest gift that God gave in his bounty and bestowed is that creating the most conformed to his own goodness. That which he prizes the most is the freedom of the will. He gave that to no other creature but to us. Somebody say amen. With which the creature has intelligence, and they alone, as we as humans, are endowed with a free will and the ability to step outside myself and understand that there are some decisions that I need to make. Some animals have the ability to plan, to lay up for winter and build for arriving spring, but they are controlled by a programmed instinct that was given by God. It never involves a choice. The power to choose belongs only to one creation, and that is to you and me. Can somebody say amen? Because we have the ability to choose, we have the power to be prudent. Prudence is simply wisdom applied in practice. To be prudent is to understand that things may change and it may not always be the same. It implies caution, deliberation, and consulting on the most suitable means to accomplish a valuable purpose. Exercise of wisdom and discerning and selecting based upon multiple situations. Prudence differs from wisdom in this, that prudence implies caution and reserve that wisdom may not express or is exercised specialized in foreseeing and avoiding evil. Brother and sister, you and I are the only thing God made who have the ability to make decisions based upon what we choose to avoid, what we choose and foresee that is going to be a problem beyond what today might hold. Thank God he gave us the ability to choose. Somebody say amen. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. You know why they're punished? Because they did not take advantage of the treasure God gave, and that was the ability to choose. Moses charged the people at Gerizim. He said, I want you to stand on Gerizim and Ebal. And I want you to produce a illustrated sermon and understand that there is going to be visible and powerful consequences based upon the choice that you make. We got to go to the Holy Land several years ago, and there Gerizim and Ebal still are, and there still the one is blessed and fruitful, and the other is still, after all these years, still barren and wretched. Brother, I'm here to tell you that there is a God in heaven who did not make this hard. The scripture said, I'm going to bring it close. I'm not going to try to fail you on the final exam, but I'm going to bring it down close. I'm going to bring it near you. I'm going to put it in your mouth. I'm going to put it in your heart. But in the end, you above all creation, you have got to choose. Somebody say amen. I don't know who's here in this building that has choices to make. I don't know who might be here that are battling. God's given you enough information, sir. God's given you enough facts, ma'am. But now you have got to decide what you're going to do with it. Somebody say amen. Woo! Oh, yeah. You're going to have to decide, because we have the ability to choose. It's the main reason why heaven and hell are justified, because no one will be in hell that did not choose to be in hell. God has provided a place desirable and a place to shun. He has provided the means by which one might meet the qualifications to enter the desirable place through his Son, Jesus Christ. He's described vividly both places so that we can make a reasonable decision about each. And then, after having done all this, he put in my hands the choice to make. Elijah came unto the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. I need to preach to you. I'm not going to preach long. I need to tell somebody that sometimes we have faithful ministers who give us the information that we need. Here, a faithful minister, he's the prophet of the people. Here, he's challenged the people. He's caused them to make a commitment. How long are you going to be here between these two choices? God has done everything that he can do. do. God has done everything. He brought it close. But it's time for you to decide. And the Bible says, and they answered him not a word. When people fail to decide, listen to me. When people fail to decide, it is because in their minds, there's not enough difference between the option to justify the risk of committing to one and forsaking the other. Brother, I'm here to tell you, you can't be lukewarm toward God. You can't be complacent about eternity. You got to fully commit one way or the other. You either passionately serve sin or you passionately serve God. But in your mind, you've been close, you've been around it, you've been in the shadows, and the reason is because you do not really feel there's much difference between one or the other. But I came to preach to you, it's time for you to decide. Somebody say amen. We got married, and I got saved in a liberal church, and I know you can. I did. And we got married, and my church was liberal and was proud of it. My wife's church was liberal, but they didn't know it. Nobody told them. Yeah, you know what I'm saying, Brother Barnett. Yeah. He pastored in that area. He knows what I'm talking about. So my beliefs and her beliefs were fairly close. It was just one of us was proud of it and the other didn't know it. We got married. We had TV. She was cutting her hair, and I didn't care too much about whether mine was long or short. I was just glad it hadn't fallen out. I was just proud of that. We had a preacher come to town, took our church Thursday night. Never forget it. Thursday night, started a series on the basic principles of holiness. And I'm telling you, he started kicking my arguments right down the gutter. I mean, everybody knows, if you got any kind of education at all, everybody knows Jesus had long hair. That's what I've been told all my life. And then he started pointing out that there wasn't no paintings of Jesus till the 3rd century, and it was somebody who wasn't real sure what gender he was that painted those pictures of Jesus and made him look like some kind of long-haired, you know, 1960s hippie. And, you know, I mean, so many things. Even the physical characteristics of those pictures are wrong. I mean, there's no Jew that has flowing locks. It just ain't even close. And how that in Roman times, the sculptures all show the man with really short hair, and although there's no photographic evidence when Jesus was on the earth, there's plenty of marble statues, and every man had a good close haircut. I didn't like that preaching. I didn't like all the things he was doing, but he kept stacking up the evidence. He kept preaching to us things that I just, be honest with you, I was just ready to quit coming on Thursday night. But the fact is, thank God, one thing that saved my soul was I didn't stop praying, and I began to argue in my soul. But there came a night, Brother Charles, there came a night when I realized I'd been given enough information, I'd been given facts, I had to choose. And that's where you are tonight. You don't need no more facts, you don't need no more preaching, you don't need no more information, but I'm here to tell you it is time for you to choose. You've got enough integrity. You've got enough honesty in your soul to know that things you have been told, they are true. You know and seen evidence that God is in the things you've been taught. But I'm here to tell you, it's time to choose. Lift your hands and ask God to help this foolish preacher. Woo! It's time to choose. When we don't choose, the consequences quickly overtake us, and we're guaranteed a loss because we've failed to commit to either side. Amen. David said, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Choosing always requires us to step out of the passive and into the active. You got to choose. You got to choose. When you and I have been given an opportunity to be blessed and the same opportunity to be cursed, and we realize the only difference between the two is in the choice that we make. One senator said, "All I've seen in life and all I've seen come to pass has caused me to accept the fact that in life there really are no small decisions." What did Moses tell the people? This blessing that you're going to procure by your choice, it's not just for you. It's also for your children. I didn't know as an 18, 19-year-old young married man when I began to get persecuted by that Thursday night preaching. I had no idea, could not conceive of the notion that there would be four lives, four children that would be in our future and their destinies. Oh, they could have found God on their, I understand that, but I'm here to tell you the promise is if you'll choose, you can bring a, you can procure a blessing for generations. One more passage. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. That's pretty common. Lord, begin your song. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. We've hung on to that, haven't we? But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And I found in my life this passage, there's some guarantees in this passage. I like guarantees. The guarantee is we're only going to be taken by common temptations. I've pastored a few folks, and some of them thought what they're going through was brand spanking new. Well, there's probably only, you like one man said, he said the problem with being, if you're Chinese and you're one in a million, that still means there's 1,000 of you. Some of you get that on the way home. You know, I thought that I was the only one, Brother Jerry, and realized there's 10,000 been through this. There's millions been through this. But we're going to get tempted by only things that are common to man. The other guarantee is we can lean on the faithfulness of God. I love that. The temptation will be limited. I love that. There have been a few times I wondered if God's scale got broke. But I realized he's faithful. And that every temptation, this is what I want you to hear, every temptation will come with an option. The writer calls it an escape. And the escape will usually come in the form of a choice. Sometimes in the times of testing, the choice is to hang on. But that's a choice. You got to choose to hang on. Sometimes when it comes to things that are harming us, like a sin in our life or bitterness or something like that, sometimes the choice is to let it go. Amen. But you and I, in every temptation, have a guarantee from God, who is faithful, that you and I are going to be provided an escape, and the escape is going to come in the form of a choice. Have you ever seen somebody backslide? You know why they backslid? By choice. Have you ever seen anybody be faithful to God for decades? And you look at their life and see what they've gone through and you wonder how? I'll tell you how. They chose. Oh, thank God. But here you are, my friend, tonight. And I feel an urgency to cause you to come to a place of commitment and challenge you. It's time. Time to choose. It's time to decide. All four of our children are in the ministry, preparing for ministry, engaged in work, in holiness. Their spouses are holiness. Now, our grandchildren are still a little bit worldly. We're praying. The oldest one's 9. But I look back on all the things that I wrestled with God about and realize the power of a choice. Sometimes I look at issues. We all examine different issues and things. And I got a little simple test. Of course, we look at what the Bible says, but there's some things I wish the Bible was more plain on. So, Brother Barnett, when it comes to those type of issues, I got a simple test, and it seems to work for me, and that is this. I ask myself, who is it that I know, that I admire spiritually, who does this? And if the list is short, then I know I need to make a choice. Who in my world of influence takes liberties in that issue? And if I understand that there's a preponderance of evidence that this could be something I need to be cautious about, brother, I'm telling you, it's time to choose. Well, I don't know about traditions, and I don't know about standards, and I don't know about that. I'm going to tell you something. I thank God for standards. Yes, I do. Just like I thank God for the guardrail when we flipped that trailer over going down the highway, and it stretched and stretched and stretched and just about went over the mountain with our children and our everything we own going down that. And that guardrail, I thank God for the guardrail. I thank God for the standard. Somebody say amen. Every day, yes. There comes a test. Every day there are choices to make. But I'm here to tell you, if we want to be blessed, then we got to decide to be blessed. If we want to be cursed, then just go with the flow. I'm here to tell you, brother, it's time to decide. Stand with me this evening. Let's lift our hands and give God praise for being so faithful. Yes. Thank God. Young person, are you here tonight, but you've never sold out to God? You got to decide. I don't know about this holiness thing. I'm okay with serving God, but I'm not sure about all this radical stuff. You better get radical. It's time to decide. It's time to decide. Sir, your marriage depends on it. Ma'am, the future blessings of your life depend upon the choices you're making right now. If I never had the Bible and I never got to study what good men have told us on different subjects, we've got a treasure trove of sermon illustrations of people and their bad decisions. I remember when my best friend came in. We were working on assembly line together. And he came in and said, hey, I just want you to hear it from me. My wife's cut her hair. We've moved into television. And I just want you to know we're not condemned about it at all. Broke my heart. We sat in the break room after third shift was 2, 3, 4 in the morning, talk about the services we'd been in and share fellowship in a wicked, wicked environment of factory life. He made a choice. He made a choice. That's been 25 or 30 years ago. And tonight his life is full of consequences. If only we could have pulled the curtain back and showed him, Mark, this is what that choice is going to bring you. This is what it's going to bring you. One man said like this, and I'm closing with this. You're standing, and I know you are. One man said like this, God gave us the freedom to make the choice, but he didn't give us the freedom to pick the consequence. You can make the choice, but you don't get to pick the consequence. We got really radical raising our children. We didn't have movies in our house. We didn't believe in that. And I'm going to tell you, I'm just me, all right? You don't have to believe like I do, but it'll probably be better for you. Close friend after another believe different on that. And I honestly right now, before the Lord, can't think of one of them who hasn't lost at least one of their children to the world. It's a little thing. Just a little thing. Just a little thing. It looked like we was just being crazy. Well, next you're going to go Amish on us. But we decided we're not going to have it in our house. I got four children. They're not perfect, but they're serving God in holiness. And every one of our friends who drawed the line in different places have paid such a price. You got to choose. You got to choose. Father, I give you this congregation. I preach my heart. I preach the burden of my soul. And I'm asking you, Lord, let us settle things. Settle things with you tonight. In the name of Jesus, give us freedom. Freedom from fear. Freedom from peer pressure. Freedom from all that the devil's going to throw at us in the next few minutes to not decide. Give us freedom in the Holy Ghost to have a radical persuasion of faith that will take us to the next blessing. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This altar's open. I know we've got a big crowd here tonight.